الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Alhamdulillah, it's Allah's fadl and His great ni'mah that we're here again discussing His deen, His knowledge, and the requirements and the demands of that knowledge. So Alhamdulillah, we made a start on etiquette of a student with his teachers, and we've been making our way through this topic. Currently, we are discussing obedience and humility. We've covered a couple of these points, so let's just quickly recap. So we mentioned about Ibn Abbas and his interaction with Zayd ibn Thabit. This is how we have been ordered to treat our scholars. And I was mentioning last week about scholars when they meet and they interact with one another. You really can tell who a true scholar is, right? Sometimes you have scholars who scoff at other scholars. That gives you an indication of their, Wallahu alam, what their intent is, what their niyyah is in their hearts. But a true scholar would never behave in that way. Someone sent me a clip of a Arab scholar, contemporary Arab scholar, Sheikh Uthman Al-Khamis. Mashallah, I really enjoy a lot of his videos. And I'm pretty sure he probably follows a different manhaj, not one of the extreme different sects or the extremely misguided sects, but I know 100% he doesn't follow probably the same manhaj that many of us would do. But subhanallah, I appreciate his scholarly decorum and the adab and the respect he has. So people send in questions, and people in the audience will ask him questions, and he will always have the utmost respect for scholars, even if he differs with them, right? And this is how we need to be, right? We can't bring ourselves down to the level of people who just have petty arguments and refute each other all day. A true scholar doesn't have time for that, right? So Ibn Abbas and Zayd ibn Thabit, and the way they treated each other, subhanAllah. Imam Ahmad said, "I shall only sit directly in front of you." When he was speaking to his teacher, Khalaf al-Ahmar, he said, "We have been ordered to humble ourselves before those whom we learn from." In madrasa, when I was in madrasa, there used to be this competition to see who can sit directly in front of the teacher. I mean, in madrasa, madaris in Darul Ulooms, you usually have a mixture of students. Some students are quite laid back and some are, mashallah, very enthusiastic. But you'd always see this among the enthusiastic teachers. Where can I sit where I'm absolutely bang on in front of the teacher, right? Because the teacher's focus and attention will be there in front. And whoever he sees there, hopefully most of his attention will go to him, right? And you obviously want someone who's going to have that kind of adab and that kind of importance for ilm sitting in front of a teacher. You don't want a student who has no regard for ilm, no regard for adab, to sit in front of a teacher. So Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, "I refuse to sit on the right or the left. I'm going to sit right in front of you." We also mentioned the quote of Imam al-Ghazali: "A teacher's mistake is far more beneficial for a student than his own correct view. One of the points I like to reiterate always with students, and I'll also share with the audience here, is that where we are learning, we're studying usually in an institute, which kind of gives us the understanding that we're on a training ground, and we're not, some of us, alhamdulillah, some of us are in real life. Those people who have ventured into real life, meaning working, supporting a family, being there for your spouse and your children, you realize what real life is about and the lessons you've been taught growing up and responsibility and respect. So usually when those kind of individuals go back into education, they already appreciate these lessons. So you'll find that they're already more respectful towards teachers, right? They appreciate more what the teacher is doing and saying. Whereas when you have young, impressionable, rash, full of confidence youngsters who think, mashallah, that they can change the world and everything has to bend to their whims and desires, it's very difficult to get them to see the teacher's side of things. It's always more of a competition, or how can I challenge the teacher? How can I show him that I know these things? But subhanAllah, we need to understand that as we're studying, if anyone here is at that young age, in ilm, there is this requirement of lowering yourself before the teacher, not to the level of disgracing yourself. Na'udhu billah, that's not what the deen requires from you. This is one thing we need to differentiate between takabbur, which is pride, and self-respect, izzatun nafs, right? As a Muslim, as a human being, you have izzah, Allah has given you izzah, right? So you can't do something disparaging to yourself, make yourself look like a fool in front of everyone and say, I'm doing tawadu, right? I'm a mutawadu. That's not tawadu, I'm afraid. Tawadu is not considering yourself above everyone else, basically. Taking other people's opinions, not forcing yours on other people, right? So izzatun nafs, self-respect, is different from takabbur, pride, right? So when Imam Ghazali says a teacher's mistake is far more beneficial for a student than his own correct view, this is the concept he's talking about, where a student needs to understand in his mind that, inshallah, whatever a teacher is saying, it's for my own benefit, right? And even though he might make a mistake, there's still a potential for me to benefit here and learn something, subhanAllah, right? The most knowledgeable, the wisest people understand that nothing goes to waste, even if something bad happened to someone, there's always an opportunity to learn something new, right? So if he's treated in a wrong way, there's an opportunity for him to learn how to respond and how not to respond, right? And every time he responds in a positive way, that increases his ajr, number one, and number two, it builds his character. So Imam Ghazali says, teacher's mistake is far more beneficial for a student than his own correct view. The point we stopped at last week was the story of Musa and Khidr, or Khidr, alayhi salam, as many refer to him. Khidr, or Khidr. Right, this story is an absolute masterclass on interaction between a student and his teacher, and the level of adab that is required and is taught in this story is absolutely mind-blowing, subhanAllah. The story is filled with lessons, hidden wisdoms that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. But just looking at the interaction between Musa alayhi salam, a great Nabi, not just a great Nabi, he is from Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, right? Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, from the five messengers who were described as having the greatest resolve, he is one of them. Yet when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, who is the most knowledgeable? He responded, not in a proud, boastful way, but as a matter of fact, I'm assuming I'm the prophet, so I'm assuming the answer is going to be me. Subhanallah, then Allah wanted to teach him, to show him that there's someone who knows more than you, right? So what happens? Musa alayhi salam is intrigued. Subhanallah, who is this person? I've never heard of him. And he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I meet this person? And Allah directs him and tells him where to go. And he ventures out with his associate, with his servant, Yusha ibn Nun alayhi salam. And the moment he meets him, right, it's a constant, from the verses you read, there's a constant sense of thirst, absolute thirst. Can I follow you? Right? And the response from Khidr is, you're not going to be able to hack it, I'm afraid. You're not going to be able to deal with it. Just go on your way. And Musa alayhi salam is, no, please, please, right? Can I follow you so that you can teach me some of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you? This is something we were taught in Madaris too. There were certain teachers, again, in an effort to try and impress upon the students the thirst and the desire for knowledge. Right. So what they would do, if a student made a small mistake, they would show as though they were upset. And they would say, okay, you know, you don't need me. I'm sure you know more, you know what you can teach yourselves, so you don't need me. So the teacher would go for a day or two. And don't do this, by any of your teachers. Don't do this at an institute, okay? You're going to have a chance. So this was private study, for example, in a masjid or at the sheikh's house. And the sheikh went away. He said, fine, you know, you guys don't need me. Go ahead, teach yourselves. And the sheikh left. And subhanAllah, there's been examples of some scenarios where students are like, students are students at the end of the day, especially the young students. And some of them are like, oh, awesome, brilliant. We've got time off. We don't need to study anymore, right? Let's just relax. Some students love to stay awake until very late, so some of them want to sleep in class. But subhanAllah, there's been scenarios where I've personally been told about scenarios where certain students, a group of students, would, I wouldn't say hound the teacher, but subhanAllah, the persistence that they show, waiting outside the teacher's house, not even knocking on the door because they didn't want to disturb him, but waiting outside. And every time the teacher came out for salah, he would ask, what do you want? Sheikh, please, please teach us. Right? SubhanAllah, when you compare something like this to the modern world and what education is in the modern world, it seems very alien. But as I mentioned before, the knowledge of the dunya is not like the knowledge of the akhirah. And subhanAllah, the knowledge of the akhirah, those who have a taste of it and they feel the nur and the barakah within them, that hunger is insatiable for them. And they keep running after it. So subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam, the same way with Khadr, please teach me, please, you have to teach me. In the end, Khadr agreed. Okay, but there's conditions put forward. Again, if you go to a sheikh and he says, right, there's conditions, if you want to study by me, your response is not to say, oh, conditions, conditions. You're lucky I'm coming to your class, sheikh. You're lucky that I'm signing on to your program. Right? SubhanAllah, that's not the response we should have. Musa alayhi salam begged Khadr, please let me follow you. Khadr alayhi salam, in the end, he said, that's fine. I only have one condition. You do not question me about anything I say or do. Right? And SubhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam, as an amazing student with adab, he says to the teacher, I agree, I accept. Right? Now what happens? We all know the story. Musa alayhi salam makes the mistake. Not once, not twice, but he makes the mistake three times. Now, we know the story and we know the three things that happened. Logically, there is nothing wrong with the objection that Musa alayhi salam had when he objected to Khadr alayhi salam. We only understand now that what Khadr was doing was based on a hikmah from ghaib, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no one was privy to, not even Musa alayhi salam. Right? So Musa alayhi salam didn't, his objection wasn't wrong, but he made the objection. And Khadr said, look, you're breaking the first condition. I gave you a condition and you're breaking it now. He didn't double down. Musa alayhi salam didn't double down and say, no, you need to answer my question right now. Why are you doing some haram? Right? Why are you destroying this man's boat? Or why did you kill this person? Right? He didn't double down. This is the issue. This is the point, which is sadly what some of us as students like to do. I'm right, and I'm going to make this point right now. Right, which is not the way of a talib al-ilm. Even if you are right, that is not the time or the place to make that argument, right? Because what happens when a lot of people study, as we mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيُمَارِ بِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, some people, why do they study the deen? So that they can debate with scholars. They just want to show scholars up in front of people. So what will a student do? He will question his teacher in front of everyone just to make a point. But subhanAllah, if you have a genuine question, this is another thing that we need to understand. This is in, whether it's online or whether it's in person. If you have an issue with a teacher, or if you have an issue with something he said, there's a way to address it. If you have some kind of grievance, or you think he made a mistake, there is a way to address it. So there's some notes that we're going to be discussing about that, inshallah. But what I always try to tell the students is, your objection is not the problem. The problem is the way in which you do it, right? Ideally, what needs to happen is away from the rest of the students, away from the class, in privacy. That's when you need to, in the most respectful way, and choose your words very carefully, that's when you need to address that issue with the ustad. Why? Because the ustad is going to appreciate that this person is not doing it out of pride. He's not trying to show off in front of people, right? When you do it in front of the rest of the class, subhanAllah, your ikhlas could be on point. Your sincerity could be unquestionable. But what is your teacher going to think? SubhanAllah, this person just wants to bring me down. He wants to disgrace me in front of everyone. So what did Musa alayhi salam do when Khadr told him, you're questioning me? He didn't double down and say, no, I'm saying what I'm saying is right. This is haram, what you're doing. But he responded, SubhanAllah, what did he do? He relented and he apologized. And he said, I'm sorry, I forgot. My bad, right? And so while what Khadr is doing seems unreasonable, But he understands, oh, this person, Allah has sent me to this person. So, you know, there must be a reason. So he apologizes and he carries on. But the point is, Musa alayhi salam was told by Khadir, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Don't ask me about anything unless I mention it to you first. In the end, subhanAllah, what happened? Musa alayhi salam's lesson was cut short. Yeah? And it was cut short because he kept asking the question. But the question that he kept asking, as we said, it was justified. But Khadir told him, this is why I was telling you in the beginning, there's no way you're going to be able to understand. But it teaches us one thing, the obedience, humility, the patience that you must have with your teachers. Past obedience and patience, you come to the next level. Hopefully, inshallah. So we're hoping that you never get to a point where you speak ill of a teacher. Na'udhu billah. Right? If there's a teacher there who's teaching you the deen, to think ill of him, to speak ill of him or her, Allah save us. But it could jeopardize our mission on this path. And even our iman, possibly, Allah save us, ma'adallah, right? So that should be way out of the question. After that, as we said, patience and obedience. Subhanallah, when you get to the next level, you start to praise, you respect him at such a level that you start to praise them, subhanallah. You don't look, you must not be blown out of proportion. This is very important. I want to clarify something here. You have the utmost respect for them, for their ilm, and inshallah, for their ikhlas. Right? You do not take celebrities, which unfortunately is a trend right now. You don't take scholars as celebrities. The harm in that is if something was to happen or that scholar was to do something which was maybe even less than questionable, just something maybe that a layman would do but a scholar wouldn't do, right? And that would change your opinion of him. This is not appropriate. Although scholars are advised, try to stay away from compromising scenarios and situations based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittaqu min mawadi'i tuham, right? So try to stay away from these things. Scholars are always told this. However, something might happen, a mistake might be made. Assalamu alaikum. Can someone let me know, please, if...
Walaikum salam.
We can hear you.
Up till now, has the lesson been going on fine? Is that okay?
No, just like 1 minute, maybe less than a minute, you disappeared, but now it's all right.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Right, I got worried for a second. So for some reason, I thought, have I been talking to myself all this time? All right, okay, alhamdulillah. That's fine. Yeah, for some reason, let me share the screen again. Bismillah. Sorry. Start recording. Let's get back on the... Okay. Right. I don't know what's... Okay, here we go. Bismillah. Is that on? Can someone confirm if that's showing now?
I don't see your screen. And now I can't hear you either.
Assalamu alaikum. Am I back on?
Yeah, you're back.
All right. Apologies. Subhanallah. Are we getting some feedback? Hold on. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Okay. I don't know what's happening. Subhanallah. the admin, subhanallah, any idea what's going on? I keep getting disconnected. Right, I'm going to try sharing. Start video. Share content. Screen. So, subhanAllah, it says it's already screen recording. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Right, I'm on the questions username now. I think there's some issue with the connection on my iPad. SubhanAllah. Right. Let me see if I can fix it. Why is English Academy? Any idea what's going on?
Yes, Sheikh, rejoining.
Sorry?
You can rejoin the tablet.
Yeah, I'm trying, but for some reason it's not. What I'll do is I'm going to just leave and close the app and then open it again, inshallah. Let's see if that works. But like I said, I'm quite impressed that up until now, are we on week 10? Week 10, and alhamdulillah, we haven't had any of these issues. So, shukr. Look at the positive side instead of complaining, inshallah. So, the Wise English Academy admin, mashallah, Allah reward them. Okay. Right. So Alhamdulillah, we've only got 10 minutes of the lesson left. Right. I'm going to suggest we just carry on like this while I'm using my phone. And but I won't be able to. For some reason, my iPad is just not connecting on the Zoom. Hold on. It seems to be doing it now. Okay, let's see. Bismillah. Wi-Fi.
Recording in progress. Progress.
Let's try this now. Stop video. Unmute. Does my voice keep coming? Mute. Right, let's have a look now. It could be connection, which is affecting the quality of the audio, hence disconnects the screen. Yeah, possibly. It seems as though it's more smooth now, though. I'm going to share the content. Only host can share the content. Right, I need to be made a host. Please make me a host. Please. Signed as co-host. Okay, brilliant. Co-host. I'll take co-host. Start broadcast. Right, alhamdulillah. Okay, now let's open. There we go. Alhamdulillah. Right. Right. How are we doing now? Is everything okay? Can everyone see everything?
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khairan. Okay. Let's inshallah try to wrap this section up. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. So we need to respect them and try to overlook their mistakes. Try not to blow mistakes out of proportion. Subhanallah. One of the Salaf al-Salihun, before he went to study with his teacher, he would give some sadaqah and then he would make a dua. His dua was, Allahumma stur aiba shaykhi anni wa la tadhhab barakata ilmihi minni wa la tudhhib barakata ilmihi minni. Oh Allah, we switch off, we turn away. And so, what was this dua he used to make? Allahumma astur aiba shaykhi. Oh Allah, hide my teacher's faults from me, anni. Wa la tudhib barakata ilmihi minni. And do not deprive me of the blessings of his knowledge. Inshallah, if anyone wants that dua, I'll send it on the portal, or maybe I'll put it on the chat. And subhanAllah, it's an amazing dua. Why? Because you are acknowledging your teacher is human, right? But you're also acknowledging that even though he made a mistake, you're still in need. Which brings us to the next point about what Imam Ash-Shafi'i said. Imam Ash-Shafi'i, he said, "Kuntu أصفح الورقة بين يدي مالك صفحا رفيقا هيبة له لئلا يسمع وقعها." Which means, I used to turn the pages while sitting in front of Malik ever so gently so that he would not hear them out of reverence for him. Subhanallah. As I've mentioned before, in online we have, alhamdulillah, the option of keeping our mute button on. And I would recommend everyone to do that, because when it's off, when the mute is off and all of the little noises, everything you can hear, it becomes distracting for the teacher. So Imam Malik, he says, while I sat in front of Imam Malik, this is how you find some students. They'll sit there clicking their pen or tapping their fingers or making other types of noises. Right, or yawning. I there's a student I keep telling him, and you, again, you have to know your audience, so you can't be strict with a group of youngsters who come from a certain background and the community they come from maybe not so practicing, or they don't understand the nuances of adab. So the student, subhanAllah, they have a long day, and some of them literally sit there and go, right. And I feel like saying to him, am I really that boring? Right? Am I boring you that much? But he, subhanAllah, he doesn't mean it in that way. I'm sure he doesn't.
It's frozen.
Subhanallah, I think it's happened again. Oh, wait. Has it happened again, or is everything... Oh, subhanallah, it's gone. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear. It's like for about 10 to 15 seconds, right where you said, when am I so boring? That's where you disappeared.
Yeah, so answer the question, Brother Umid, am I boring?
you are not. You actually, using this chance, I want to thank you for your time, because you're doing this, and I'm reading the book. I believe that you translated the softening of the hearts.
Softening of the heart. Is that Kitab al-Zuhd?
Kitab al-Zuhd, yeah. It's like...
I edited that one. Yeah, I didn't translate that.
Jazakallah khairan for this. It's an amazing book. I love Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and I love reading this book.
Subhanallah.
I look forward to...
Any true scholar... Name me any true scholar, any true student who doesn't love Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and subhanAllah, I'll give you £1 million. So, mashallah, yeah, that's he is a gem, subhanAllah. But yeah, so Brother Umid, what was I saying to you? How would you feel? Am I pronouncing your name right, first of all?
Yes, correct, yes.
Right, so if while you were talking to me, if I started yawning as I did in that example, what would your reaction be? What kind of response would you have?
Yeah, as I understand, this is in any culture, any civilization, yes. I think it's disrespectful, especially towards the teacher. I mean, yes, if I so can, and using this chance, I want to give one little trick that helps me. I read it in this Japanese samurai book. When you wanna yawn, you just put your palm on your brows and kind of wipe it towards your hair, just your forehead, and you stop yawning. I do it every time. It helps me. Not
really.
So try it, and inshallah, if I see you again, if you can let me know, it helps. But that's
I'll try that.
Sneezing hard to stop, but yawning possible.
Yeah,
but I think any culture.
Subhanallah. So you're reading Japanese samurai. From all of that, I took you're reading Japanese samurai books, and I thought, mashallah, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Samurai culture is kind of a very warrior culture, and it corresponds with our cultures also.
Subhanallah. Yeah, subhanAllah. You see the overlaps.
Overlaps, yeah. Adab is amazing. And I hope Japan will have more Muslims.
Because Inshallah. Are you Japanese, by the way?
No, I'm Uzbek, Uzbekistan.
Uzbek, mashallah. Okay, subhanAllah. Awesome. Right. So, yeah, from the example we were saying, so Jazakallah khair for that tip, inshallah. I'm going to try it. I don't know. I'm sure the other participants will try it too. But subhanAllah, the Brother Umid was spot on when he said, it's downright disrespectful forget a teacher. If you are talking to a friend, if you're with a stranger and he does that in your face, you're not going to appreciate it, right? So imagine, subhanAllah, in front of a teacher. These are the things that we need to think about, whether we're there in person or we're there online. Are there any, if the Sheikh allows videos, am I doing anything which is going to distract the Sheikh? Have I got a poster behind me on the wall of something that's going to have the Sheikh thinking, what's going on here? Or have I got some music or nasheed playing in the background? Even Quran, like when you're having a lesson, you shouldn't be listening to Quran in the background. Do I have anything that's going to disturb the Sheikh? Right? Subhanallah, look at what Imam Shafi'i said. When he used to turn the pages of the book, he would do them ever so gently so that Malik would not hear the paper. Why? So that he doesn't annoy him or disturb him in any way. Another quote from one of the Salaf al-Salihun, Rabi'a. Rabi'a rahimullah said, Wallahi majtara'tu an ashrab al-ma'a wa shafi'iyu yanzuru ilayya haybatan lahu. Right, subhanallah. By Allah, I never dared drink water while Shafi'i was looking at me out of respect for him. Now, what is wrong with drinking water? Let's ask someone else. Nadim, brother Nadim Walilay. Is there anything wrong with drinking water?
No, I don't think we shake. But I think while in lesson, I think to make sure that we're giving the teacher full attention, I think it's out of respect. We should not be fidgety or do anything when the teacher is teaching us.
Yeah. Spot on. There is absolutely nothing wrong with drinking water. If you're thirsty, you need to drink water. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. But subhanAllah, some teachers, they might have these nagging thoughts in their mind when they see something which questions the attention span of the student. It takes them out of the zone. Because alhamdulillah, mashallah, I'm getting this interaction from you guys. I'm actually in the zone. If you can't tell, I'm actually loving it right now because I'm having this interaction with you guys and I'm actually in the zone of teaching. But the moment something takes me out of it, subhanAllah, you'll notice, right? And so drinking water, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But if sometimes you drink water, the teacher is going to think, am I that boring? And am I that distracting that he's thinking about his thirst and drinking water? And so this was by one of the Salaf al-Salihun. He's saying regarding Imam Shafi'i, I never dared drink a sip of water while he was looking at me. Why? Because I was so engrossed in engrossed in my respect for him. I was more concerned about not doing anything to offend him or displease him or even cause him any kind of inconvenience in any way. Maybe the Sheikh doesn't have water, right? So that's another point to consider, right? If you're on Zoom, you've got video there, and subhanAllah, you're sitting there while the Sheikh is teaching, and you've got tea and you're dipping biscuits in your tea, right? And the Sheikh is starting to lick his lips. SubhanAllah, and he might not have those things there. SubhanAllah, these are things to think about, right? How can I make the teacher's experience as less hassle for him as possible? SubhanAllah. And with that, inshallah, we'll end this week. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I apologize again and again. Afwan so much. I'm sorry for the problems this week. Hopefully, inshallah, that would be the first and the last of the problems. Any questions? You can share your questions, inshallah. If you'd like to ask them, you can ask them. If you want to...
Are you going to teach more classes, Sheikh?
I was actually discussing that with one of the admin a couple of days ago, possibly, inshallah. It's not decided yet. I'm trying to get through this one. This one was scheduled for 8 weeks, I think. And subhanAllah, I think if you go according to the book, I'm not even sure we're halfway through the section that we're doing. But from next week, I'm going to have to speed it up, inshallAllah. So possibly, wallahu alam, just as they say, watch this space, inshallAllah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Barakallahu feekum. Wa antum jazakumullah khairan. Ustad, please, would you... apologies. Yep, sorry.
I was just going to leave, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh. Thank you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, someone is asking for the dua. I'm going to type it on the chat. I'm going to do it without the tashkeel. And I'm going to assume, inshallah, that hopefully you'll be able to read it. If you can't, send me a private message, inshallah. I will try to get a version for you with the tashkeel. Tashkeel, or according to some students, they call it I'rab. Wala tudhib. Barakata ilmihi minli. SubhanAllah, this is a dua that someone used to make before going to see their teacher. There's another dua that many students and scholars have been making before they go to sit with shuyukh, right? And it's quite an interesting dua. And it's based on a dua in the hadith. And that dua is... Allahumma astur awrati wa amin rawati. Reason being is, subhanAllah, there are certain slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where Allah uncovers certain things to them. It's called firasa, intuition. Firasa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, fa'innahu yanzuru bi nurillah. So be wary, beware of the intuition of a believer because he sees with the light of Allah subhanAllah. So certain scholars, because of their piety, they can see, they can see the effects of our misdeeds, for example. So what many scholars do is before they go to see a sheikh, they say, Allahumma astur awrati wa amin rawati. Oh Allah, hide my faults and wa amin rawati, and keep my awe or my respect, my self-respect intact. Right, so here's the dua that I mentioned before. Allahumma astur aiba shaykhi anni wa la tuzhib barakata ilmihi minni. Ustad, could you please share? Yeah, that's fine. That's done. Jazakumullah khairan for today's class. Jazakumullah khairan to you, all of you. There would be no class if it wasn't for you. Any other questions, inshallah? We've got about 5 or so minutes. Is the dua fine for everyone? Does someone need it with the tashkeel? If anyone wants to write it, I can read it again. Allahumma astur aiba shaykhi anni wa la tudhib barakata ilmihi minni. Right. Just out of curiosity, how many students have signed up to some of the other courses?
I signed up for the Fiqh courses that every morning, but unfortunately I live in the US. Unfortunately, I work every morning and except weekends. So I'm only able to take weekend classes.
Right, subhanAllah. And those can you access those recordings later?
Recordings, that's what I was trying to, but they won't show up. Like I don't see any.
Right, subhanAllah. I'll have a word with the admin, inshallah, if they can sort that out. SubhanAllah. Which the Hanafi or Shafi'i fiqh? There's quite a few fiqh.
I follow Hanafi mazhab, but I wouldn't mind to just out of curiosity to study Shafi'i mazhab also.
Yeah, SubhanAllah. No, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with knowing about other madhahib. In fact, I mean, inshallah, you gain a certain level of understanding of your madhab. It's always good to know and to be aware of, for example, what their usul are, at least, right? You don't need to know the in-depth rules, but it's definitely helpful, right? It increases your understanding, your knowledge. It gives you a greater respect and understanding for all of the a'imma of the different madhahib. It's really amazing what they've been able to do, how they've been able to extract the laws all from the Quran and Sunnah, every single one of them, through their own principles, subhanAllah. So yeah, it's inshallah, yeah, of course, do it. SubhanAllah, I want to do that too, right? So inshallah, I'm hoping, because they've got all the four schools, subhanAllah, you guys should sign up to these courses. These are the absolute essentials of deen, and inshallah you can access the recordings, the lessons. I'm sure a lot of them are on YouTube too. If you can't access it on the portal, try YouTube. They'll be on YouTube as well. So yeah, inshallah, these are the main courses. This is kind of just an introductory course so that you can be ready for those courses, inshallah. Any other questions anyone has?
Sheikh, I just found this quote about how to prevent yawning. Can I post the link to the chat?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a second.
Bismillah.
I posted. I'm not sure if everybody can see it. I posted.
Yeah, I've seen it. Oh, sorry. I haven't, however, in the recent email sent out, we were sent the YouTube page of Wise Academy. Many recordings of the courses currently going are available there. Yep, they are, mashallah. Check them out, inshallah, if you can get time, of course. Right. Yep, subhanAllah, and someone's put, the admin have posted it. Andre and Hagakuri. So that sounds Japanese to me. So this is the one, oh, subhanAllah. Okay. The Book of Samurai introduction. Yeah, I'll definitely give this a read, inshallah. Yeah, it sounds fascinating, mashallah. It's going to be difficult. I've never tried this, but it's going to be difficult to hold back a yawn, but there's ways in which you can limit the effects of the yawn, right? So you don't need to stretch your hands and your whole body and open your mouth out wide and make a loud noise, right? Yeah. So
yeah, according to Sunnah, it's you just cover your, you know, the mouth.
SubhanAllah, of course.
Back of your hand.
Exactly, because no one wants to see what you had for lunch. Right? So, of course, the sunnah is the most beautiful way. And even then, the sunnah says, don't make this noise because shaitan laughs at you. Right? And subhanAllah, the scholars of hadith explain why does shaitan laugh at a person when he makes this noise? It's because they say he's so heedless. Like he's so unaware of his responsibility before Allah. You could say he's so heedless of adab, right? Subhanallah. That's why shaitan's laughing. So there's ways in which you can do it. Cover your mouth. Keep your mouth closed. Don't make a single noise. And inshallah, that way, that's how you deal with it if you're before your teacher. Right, so any last questions before we bring the lesson to an end? Alhamdulillah, recording for last class are now available on YouTube. Yep, so guys, check it out on YouTube. Check all these videos out, the other classes. Allah reward you so much for joining us today. Make dua for me, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.